Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
I missed the last 2 weekends because I was in the hospital. And I just want to say this. I'd rather be in church than the best hospital around. Come on, somebody, who's with me on that? And last weekend, my wife, with less than 24 hours notice, shared from her heart, and I watched. Yeah, come on. And I watched from my hospital bedroom, crying, at how you welcomed her and received her. I could feel the love and the passion and the energy that was in the room. It was so awesome. It wasn't awesome enough to stay away another weekend, but it was awesome. And Larry, the weekend before, I just want to say this. I don't believe that the devil lives behind every bush. I'm not a devil conscious kind of guy, but he does exist. And he has a plan for your life. The devil's plan for your life is to steal and to kill and to destroy. The devil's highest and best for your life is that you're dead. And if he can't do that, he'll endeavor to make your existence a miserable one. That's his highest and best. But I got good news for y'all. A man named Jesus came. He came to undo everything that the enemy wants to do in your life. To give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And here's what I want to say. The enemy in this most recent attack has messed with the wrong person. Because he didn't just mess with a person. He messed with a people. And what makes our church incredible is not a person, but it's the people. I need you to hear me say that. It doesn't just rest in one individual's ability or persona or charisma or intellect or charm and good looks. But the kingdom of God lives in you and you and you, in all of us. And his highest and best for us is that we make a difference in this world. So, okay. This can go one of two ways. It can go the way it's going, where half of y'all are in. Or it can go the way it would be really awesome if it went for you, is if we're all in. Someone says, I'm just here because grandmama promised me cookies. Just act like you're one of us. We won't know the difference. We won't know the difference. So I had a bout of pancreatitis. And it's as awful as it sounds. 10 out of 12 days in a hospital bed in extreme pain. Someone says, Josh, how does it compare to the heart attack? It's totally different. Because a heart attack comes, and the way I understand it, in just a few moments of pain, and either you live or you die. If you die, the pain ends. But pancreatitis was 12 days of incessant, revolving pain that came in waves. I'm happy to announce that I'm 6 days with little to no pain. They conditioned me in the hospital to rate my pain, so I'm like at a 1 or 2 most times. And here's what you need to know. We could give you all kinds of details, but here's what you really need to know. I'm going to be just fine. Yeah. And y'all going to have to put up with me for a long, long time. I want to read a verse of scripture to you. And if you notice, I got no TV. I've got no notes. It's just me and the Bible. And this is what I believe. I believe that before you leave here today, God's going to do something in your life. For some of you, you identify with the nagging, aching, incessant, revolving door of pain in your physical body. And I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is the healer. Some of you have lived with nagging, aching, discomfort in the form of a relationship, in the form of challenges, in the form of difficulties. It takes many shapes, forms, and fashions. But here's what I know. The Bible tells me this. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. Every single one of them. Maybe you just came and you thought, I just came to be at a Christmas service to do my religious duty for the year. You stepped into the wrong place to do your religious duty this year. Actually, you stepped into the right place because God knew from the foundation of the world that you would be here carrying the things you're carrying that He never intended for you to carry. Today, someone, you're going to go out of this place, you're going to go free. And in 1 John chapter 3, the latter part of verse 8, here's what the word says. For this purpose, or if you want to, you could say it this way, for this reason. Why'd you come, Jesus? Why we do what we do on Christmas every year? Why do we run through the stores? Why do we do all the stuff that we do? Why do we make it about the things that we make it about? Why are we celebrating? What is this for? And the Bible says this, for this purpose, for this reason, the Son of God was manifested, or He came to be, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Here's what Jesus came for. He came to set you free. He came to set me free. Because here's what God knows. You can only make a difference in the lives of others to the degree that you're experiencing freedom. See, when I was laid up in that hospital bed, I was greatly diminished in my ability to make a difference in the lives of other people. I was bound up and locked up, but I got to tell you something. I was looking for people to get into their world. There was a young lady who was one of the caregivers. And I know she's watching, because she started watching that first day we met. She jumped online and she watched an entire series, and she came back and we started talking about it. And then she watched my wife when my wife was preaching and teaching, and she watched. Because here's what you need to know. Everywhere you go, God has designed you to make a difference. But if you're locked up in, bound up and tangled up and tied up in stuff of this world's concerns, you'll not be free like God wants you to be free. And this is what this verse says. That is for this reason that God came, that He sent His Son to destroy the works of the devil. And I want to look at this for a minute. I want to look at this idea. And then we're going to do something, since we only have one service this weekend on Sunday. I want us to have a chance to not just receive the word, but then respond to the word. Give you a chance to be prayed for. Come in contact with the life-giving nature of God. He's going to destroy the works of the devil. And in Acts chapter 10, I'm going to work my way backward, and I'm going to tell you a story, and then we're going to pray for you. How does He do it? Well, in Acts 10:38, the Bible says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all. Everybody say all. All who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So everywhere Jesus went, he did good and he healed. He healed and he did good. He did good and he healed. All throughout his entire life, this summarizes what Jesus came to do. To heal and to do good. To heal and to do good. To heal and to do good. And my Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if that's what Jesus did, that's what he will do, and that's what he is doing right here, right now, in this place, the exact same power that was present when Jesus walked on the earth is present in the hearts and lives of his people. And God wants to heal and he wants to do good in your life. I don't know what you've heard about God, but God is a good God. He's good and his mercy endures forever. Forever. Let me go back a little bit more into Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus says these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me. He's furnished me," in other words, "with everything necessary to accomplish the task ahead of me in this life. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, those who are broken in a million pieces, those whose hearts and lives and dreams have been shattered." The Bible says that Jesus came especially equipped to set you on a new course, in a new direction, to give you a new beginning, to give you a new start. The old way doesn't have to be the continued way. It can be completely changed once and for all. Jesus can take that old, crummy, nasty thing that you've become used to, and he can make it brand new and serve his purpose and his glory once and for all, to put the devil under his foot and just continue to go forward with the power of God working in your life. I don't know if you feel what I'm saying or not, but I feel what I'm saying all the way down to my shoes. He says, this is what he came for. Why did he come? Why we unwrap these gifts? Why we huddle around the tree? Why we color the cookies? Why we paint the stuff? Why we put the lights up? Why do we do it? Because Jesus came so that we could be free of everything that would hold us captive. Like, just think about it, because some of y'all don't think I'm talking about you. But I'm talking about every single person in this room. There is something in your world that's keeping you held captive, and God wants to move it out of the way. He wants to take it out of the way. That thing that's keeping you from taking that next step in God. The thing that's keeping you from realizing the dream that's planted in your heart. That thing that's come over and over and over in front of you is disappointment. That thing that just robbed you of joy and peace and graciousness. He wants to take that thing out of the way. He wants to get it out of the way. I'm going to show you how. You ready? You ready? I'm going to show you exactly how. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 says this, "And it shall come to pass that thing in your life, it didn't come to stay. It came to pass. It may pass like a gallstone, but it'll pass. It may pass like a kidney stone, but it'll pass. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden, the enemy's burden that's saddled you and strained you and burdened you down, that his burden will be taken away from off of your shoulders and his yoke from off of your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing." What's that mean? I looked that word up in the Hebrew, the word anointing. Here's what it literally means. You ready? It means fatness. F-A-T, fat. So have you been looking for a title of a message today? It's how to get fat. He says what's going to break that thing off of your neck that's held you back is fatness. Is getting fat. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to get fat. I just made it real uncomfortable for you. You can keep going, Daniel. I'm almost done. A yoke was an apparatus, a device used in former years to harness beasts of burden. Would go around their neck, a wooden harness with a bar that would tether them together with another animal. And here's what would happen. A good master would feed his livestock to the point that the livestock grew so large that the yoke didn't fit anymore. And it would literally break off of the animal. That they would be fed and led so well that eventually they would exceed the capacity of the constraints placed upon them by external forces. They would grow so large that that thing that burdened them down would just break. There's two ways we get free. They both involve God. One is an instant moment where you were bound this moment and the next moment you're free. And I love when God does that. But when He doesn't do it that way, there's still another way He uses His Spirit to help you break free. And He does that by causing you to take growth steps. Steps where you grow to where you continue to grow. You take step after step after step to the point where the old thing that used to kind of constrain you is no longer able to constrain you. You grow. See, in other words, there's two ways He does it. He does it instantaneously, which is awesome. But then there's other times where you just grow out of the problem. How many ready to grow out of some problems? Watch. I just want to tell you two or three stories, depending on time. And then we're going to get out of here. The last verse I'm going to share with you is in Judges 2:10. This is right after Joshua has died. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord, which He had done for Israel. If I jump down to verse 10, here's what it says. And when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which He had done for Israel. So Joshua dies, all of his staff dies, all of his team dies. And it says this, there's an entire generation who doesn't know God and doesn't know how God works. This is what is at stake this Christmas year. That we are no more than one generation away from an entire experience with God being lost. In other words, what was obtained in this generation is not guaranteed in the next unless we pass on what we've received. And that's your responsibility. And it's my responsibility. We're one generation away from extinction of the things of God. But God has a plan. And I want to look for some people in here today that you're committed to. You won't let this die with you. As you just write down and maybe in your Bible and your phone, or you'll put it someplace where you remember, and you write this down and you say, this will not die with me. This will not die with me. That we will pass on those things that God has planted in our hearts. Let me give you a couple examples of how I kind of broke out and through fatness got free. I was a young man, little kid, 3 or 4 years old, in my mama's Pentecostal church, Newark Heights Church of God. It was around Easter time, they did a program called Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And the play was set up this way. People came up to the pearly gates, told their story. Some made it to heaven based on whether they had a relationship with Jesus or not. Some were drug off into hell. It was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. My mama was in the play. And as she walked up, I really wasn't paying too much attention except for when the lights and the loud noises came on for the most part. But then when mama came up to the pearly gates, I started paying attention because I wanted to see where she was going to go. I lived with her. I wasn't sure, to be honest with you. I said, I've seen that woman. She got into heaven in the play. And more importantly, she got into heaven in real life. But at the end of that program, they gave an invitation like I'm going to give in a couple minutes for people to give their hearts to Jesus. Nobody moved in that place. Nobody moved. But all the while, way down deep somewhere in my soul, something was shaking around. Like they'd put a maraca in my belly and just shook it, but you couldn't hear it. For whatever reason, it was the first of a bunch of steps that I would take in my life as I followed God. And I literally got up out of my seat and walked down front as a little 3, 4, 5 year old kid. And I didn't know because I didn't pay any attention. But they told me afterward that as soon as I stepped out of my seat, grown men and women got out of their chairs, went to that altar, and gave their hearts to Jesus. If you fast forward to my freshman year in high school, I kind of got serious about following God and said, God, I want you to have all my life, all of it. And I gave my heart to Him again, kind of just as a rededication, as a recommitment. Something happened this time. As soon as I made that decision, in my heart, I didn't hear a voice. But I had this nudge. You need to be water baptized. And you need to be baptized in the Spirit. I've seen people experience both. I thought, okay. Sophomore year goes by. Junior year goes by. Senior year goes by. And every time I kind of ask God, what's next? I kept on thinking two things. Josh, you need to be water baptized. And you need to be baptized in the Spirit. I said, but isn't there something else? Nope. That's it. I let it go. I didn't really want to go down that path for whatever reason. It came up again. God, what's my next step? Anybody want to guess what He said to me? You need to be water baptized. You need to be baptized in the Spirit. Here's the takeaway. God won't tell you what's next until you do what's in front of you now. Like if you're waiting for something else, no, there's a step there now. I got water baptized. I got filled with the Spirit. God changed my life. Began to give me more steps to take. And today I'm about to take a step. Because I want you to know that there's a new step for you. It's my second year in Bible school. My wife was pregnant. It was February. The reason I know it was February is because the school I went to had something called Winter Bible Seminar. And my mom was visiting. Most of you know me. And you come to this church anyway. I'm taking a risk today, but I really believe this is a step, and I'm supposed to share this with you. Went to bed one night. I'd been up talking to my mama. Angie had already went to bed. She was fairly pregnant. And as I normally did, I just put my hand around her, always touched her belly before we'd go to bed, even if she went to bed ahead of me. And I'd pray. I'd pray over her. I'd speak life over our child. At that point, we didn't know we were having twins. It was just one. That night, I went to bed after talking with Mama and something happened. God visited me in a special way. Don't really know what to say except for came with a message. That message to me was this. I've come to protect you, your wife, and your child. As soon as he said that, two angels appeared in my room. Scared the fire out of me. I'm not even kidding. I hid behind my wife. I tucked in behind her. She was pregnant. I told you she was really pregnant. I could hide behind her then. And I said, if they don't bother me, I won't bother them. And as soon as that happened, God said to me in my heart, Josh, I want to use you, those you help, to lead people into freedom and into healing. And today marks a special day for us, because today is a day where I take a step and you take a step, where we take a step together to let God be who He wants to be in our lives. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask my wife to join me. If you would, please, baby. I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm out of time. I told you that story not so that you would look at me in any specific way, but as an example and a testimony that God still does what He promised He would do. He sends us hope. And when we're at our darkest moments, He sends light. He said, it's for this reason I came, to destroy the works of the devil. And he does it through his amazing grace and his amazing power. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Lord, I just thank you for using this time that we have together in a way that brings honor and glory to you, not to us, certainly not to me. Lord, life is short. And when we get those reminders, when life deals us those reminders, it's important to me that we take advantage of them. And God, here's what I ask for every person under the sound of my voice first that doesn't have a relationship with you, doesn't know you, but needs to, that you want to meet with them. They don't have to have it all figured out in every step, but just this one step of coming to you, giving you a chance to be real to them. Lord, I just ask you right now that you would move in those hearts. People who are far from you, the people who know what it means to be close to you, but they've kind of done their own thing, and you're drawing them back. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, just on this first step, you say, Josh, I'm far from God and I need to be close. I know what it means to follow him, maybe you'd say, but I haven't been following him. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat. I'm not going to ask you to come down front today. What I am going to ask you to do is with an uplifted hand say, Josh, that's me. You're talking to me. I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to make that step today. If that's you anywhere in this place, just right now, courageously throw up your hand right where you're seated and leave it there for just a moment. Go ahead right now. Hands are going up. Keep putting them up. Keep going. Thank you. Keep throwing them up. If that's you, come on. Don't wait. Now's the time. Now's the moment. There's over a dozen hands that I can see right now, maybe getting close to 15 or 20 people saying, I'm responding. That's me. If that's you right now, you're not going to be all by yourself. Just throw that hand right up in the air and say, Josh, that's me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Awesome. Good for you all. Good for each and every one of you. So happy for you. Can we all pray this from our hearts? Repeating it with those who are maybe praying it for the very first time. Everybody with your heart, say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he was raised from the dead. For me, I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Turn from my sin and I turn to your Son and I will follow him all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you help me celebrate with those who made a decision?
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.